Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Adele Barlow's Raw Impressions. Hello and welcome to Raw Impressions, the card past that a couple made. The card past that a couple made right now. Card past that a couple made and is making. Lou has found something that he's calling the original show tape. And there's another show tape. Here's an excerpt from it real quick. Maybe you understand what he's talking about. Here's the excerpt.
Your new favorite dope-smoking Renaissance threesome, Senator! Jason, Lou, and Eric.
So yes, that's something that, it's from a piece that Lou's very, very proud of. He talks about it like it's the greatest thing he's ever done.
I do.
The little bits I have heard of it, it seems abrasive to me. And I worry. It's quite abrasive. And I want to make sure before this onslaught begins, big deal, the original show tape, before all of that hubbub starts, I wanted to make sure that we checked in with Adele. Adele, is this, what are you thinking of now? What's going on with you? Let me know.
Let him know.
Well, so that's four track, man. In case you didn't know, if this is your first time tuning into Raw Impressions with, by the way, Lou Barlow and Adele Barlow, not just Adele Barlow, four-track man being quite the little sneaky four-track there.
That was a long introduction, long and sort of meandering introduction.
I actually spaced out. I didn't know what half of it.
He's talking about what I've... He's talking about the show tape. There was this Sebado show tape that I made in the early 90s, and I played it during some of our shows when Eric Gaffney was
in. Is that why you call it show tape?
Yeah. And it was released. Okay. It was released on a record. It was a B-side to Soul and Fire. I think it's like 14 minutes long or something. But yeah, that's what he's... I found the original of that tape. But he wanted to know.
Before we get to show tape.
Yeah, before we get to that, because it's going to
dominate this episode.
It's going to dominate it. So, yes, I think it's, you know, very legit that he was asking you how you should try to get a word in edgewise before.
He interrupts again.
Yeah.
Okay.
He/me.
What? That's you? Four track man?
No, but it's the.
Oh,
it's
you're going to interrupt tape. Me too.
The show tape. I'm going to start blabbing about it.
Yes, and then you won't stop, so...
No.
Okay. Checking in with me. Well, you're back from Australia and New Zealand, and so that's quite nice to have you padding around the house again, and you're wearing your Chewbacca jacket, which is... This jacket, I had no idea the legs it would have. This is really... surprised me. I got this at Target a million years ago when we first moved to Massachusetts. I think it was like our first or second Halloween here.
There was some kind of Star Wars revival going on, so they had...
There always is,
I think.
It's just
a really good... Yeah, but it was...
Were like Chewy then, right?
I'm Chewy, so it looks like... I look like... I have a Chewbacca hoodie, basically.
I basically bought you a hoodie that's Chewbacca. A Chewbacca hoodie. That was your whole costume. And I think I was... Princess Leia? Like, I had the buns.
Did you? Were
and
you?
I was pregnant with Izzy, so I was like pregnant Princess Leia.
I just want to sneak something in real quick. Mm. I'm not a huge Star Wars fan or anything.
Oh, I bet you were dying to sneak that in. Yeah,
I was. I like to just tell everybody.
I know.
That, hey, Star Wars, take it or leave it. I'm shrugging. Look at me.
You just loved it. That's your little Beatles button you like to push.
I liked the original. I was right in the target audience in 1976 or whatever, 77. Mm-hmm. I was the target audience for Star Wars, and it worked. The first Star Wars movie, I was like, hey, that was fun.
I like it.
I was into it. It was fun.
Yeah. I think the second one, though, is the one I really like, because isn't that the one with Boba?
Let's not talk about Star Wars.
That's mean. What if I want to talk? You said I'm checking in with you. What if I just want to sit and talk about Star Wars during my check-in?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm sorry.
Because it gives me an opportunity then to talk about how hot Harrison Ford is in those movies. So there you go. That's what I'd like to say, is that he was really fucking hot. And even when he was frozen in the wall, he was still hot. So I didn't know that was possible, but it is. What was his character? Han Solo. That's also hot.
Good Han name. Solo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot Solo. So that's all I'm going to say about it. Oh, and I think the third one, last thing I'm going to say of the original or whatever, is I like the cute little bears that run around.
That was later. Hey, you know what?
What are they called?
Let me just do a little retraction here.
Okay.
Star Wars is fine.
Yeah.
Well, it's fine.
It's fine.
I don't have to prove. I have no point to prove by saying that I'm just not obsessed with it.
Yeah, that's people all. Really love the Star Wars series. I think it seems like.
And having this jacket is not the result of an obsession of any kind. It's just it looks cool and it's really comfortable and it just fits. It's a really good casual. I feel a little, and I also feel a little more. It's when I'm feeling a little more animal-y, I wear this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been known to wear it without a t-shirt on underneath it.
I've seen you. I've seen you naked, actually, just wearing that. Is that too far? Did I tell people too many things?
No, not at all. That's me.
That's you.
I talk about.
This is Raw Impressions. Just saying.
Yes. I am happy to share the information that I was naked during the recording of, some of my earliest recordings. My earliest four track recordings were often done when I was alone in the house and I was naked.
In the buff. What about show tape? Were you naked while making show tape?
Possibly.
Parts of it, maybe. So can I get to show, is there more that I should say about myself? Well, I wasn't really talking about myself. I was talking about your jacket.
Yeah.
I guess I still haven't.
No, you haven't talked
much about moi. I'm okay. I'm a little fatigued. The rain is pouring. It's gray out. I'm a little sad about things. The world is scary to me. I'm sad, but, getting through, getting through each day. You just got to get up, keep moving, show up for the people in your day-to-day life. I'm making meals this week. That feels nice.
I'm enjoying the meals.
Yeah. So I'm okay. I'm okay. Oh. Yeah. And I can hear the rain in the background and I kind of just feel like, do you ever just feel like curling up in a ball and crying with the rain?
No.
Oh. Okay.
No.
I do. Generally, when it rains, I want to go immediately into my bed.
I appreciate that.
With pajamas on, something really soft.
Just because I
and have a good cry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
Just because I personally have never done that.
Have you ever thought about doing that?
No.
Interesting. I wonder if you've ever thought, now is a good time for me to cry.
Sometimes when I feel overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I'm feeling overwhelmed by information.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've been feeling very overwhelmed with information.
Yeah.
Truly. This is something's happening. I hear noises.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is this? Oh. Sebado, Eric, and Lou. Funny guys, good music, Sebado, Eric, and Lou.
Yeah. I've never heard your show tape.
This is the original one. It was Eric and I were playing a show. We played two shows as a duo, one in New York City at Wetlands and the other one at the Middle East upstairs. And I played this tape while he and I did these kind of chaotic duo sort of semi-acoustic shows.
When was this?
91, 90. Jason was temporarily relieved of his position as the drummer of the band, so Eric and I could do the shows as a duo and then keep all the money ourselves and not share it with Jason. That was the reason I was given. I was like, where's Jason? He said, oh, Jason's not in the band. We're doing these shows as a duo.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Interesting. And did you feel that you just had to go along with that decision?
Yeah, I did. But I made this show tape. This is what Eric... I did... Eric said we're doing the shows as a duo, so I made a show tape.
I find that so interesting that you, A, keep calling it a show tape, which I guess is just this very literal thing. You're like, we're doing a show, I'm going to press a button on a cassette player
and play the tape.
So during the show. This is my show tape. I'm not saying, like, I don't want to say anything disparaging.
No, bring it on.
But I do want to say that it's kind of funny. That's sort of, it's like a little kid. It's like, look at me, I made a little tape, and I'm calling it my show tape. And I'm going to play it during my show.
Well, I based the whole show tape on, I prank called Eric.
Again,
I started playing noise.
Possibly juvenile behavior.
No, listen.
Lou, you're a dick.
See?
Yeah, I know, but it's really funny.
Oh, man. No, it's not.
Wait, one more time.
Lou, you're a dick.
Yeah, I know, but it's really funny.
Oh, man. No, it's not.
I tormented him on the phone. Like, he had no idea that it was me, and I was
playing. Oh my gosh, because he didn't have caller ID, right? Or
yeah,
something.
I was playing his own songs back to him over the phone, and then and in this kind of, this sort of ominous feedback. Poor guy.
My gosh. So that's Eric.
I didn't realize that I had done this.
On
I didn't
the phone,
realize-
and you just were continually calling him. He would answer the phone and say, like, hello. Did you give him like a little bit of break between calls so he didn't keep answering?
I don't remember, but he was really bummed and he thought I was other people. He's like, John, is this John? And I was just, I thought it was really funny to torment him that way. And then somehow I created the whole show tape based on that prank phone call. And, you know, like looking back, I forgot about this because when I found the tape, I was like, oh, cool, it's the original tape. And then I'm listening to it and I'm slowly putting it together. And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot. I pranked him.
In the tradition of Van Morrison and the Rolling Stones, Sebado, Lou, and Eric.
And then I cut these announcements into it.
Two guys that argue sometimes, Sebado, Eric, and Lou.
We did.
Lou and Eric.
We had kind of an antagonistic relationship.
Eric with a K, Gaffney, proud possessor of many live Meat Puppets tapes.
Love the Meat Puppets.
Sebado, Eric. Sebado, Eric, and...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello.
Your voice. It's so wild to me hearing your voice because it's you, but it's not you. It's your younger voice. Your voice has changed.
Yeah. I sounded like an asshole.
It's just also so high. Your voice is so much lower now and granularly.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. This is also on the tape. This is an excerpt from an interview. An excerpt from an interview that Eric did. Because Eric had a fanzine.
What was the name of it?
Withdrawal. And he was interviewing local bands, and he interviewed this band of kids that went to Northfield Mount Hermon, which is this big private school around here.
It's a boarding school. Mm-hmm.
Why did you guys change your name?
Well, because
he went to see Rock Against Reagan.
No!
And goes, I want to be in a political band. He listened to the MDC speech that Dave made over and over again, and he goes, this is cool! This is cool!
Fuck that! Fuck that!
He agreed with me that we should turn more political.
Green injured unit sounds stupid now.
And then we changed all our lyrics.
Politics blow.
Listen to me. Stop. He said if we changed all our lyrics, we couldn't be the brain injured unit anymore. He said, well, let's call ourselves Bonded in Unity, and we all agreed.
I didn't. I was out of the band by that time.
You are.
You don't even count, G.
Bonded in Unity is dumb. Brain injured unit sounds a lot cooler.
Bowels and uproar.
Did I just hear bowels of uproar?
Okay, I really wanted to set this up better. I gotta...
It's okay. No, I want to. You can. Why can't you explain it now? After.
Okay. Let me explain that for you. There was like just before that started, so Eric had this fanzine called Withdrawal, and he interviewed local bands, and he interviewed BIU, which were a band from Northfield Mount Hermon.
Okay. Yep.
And one of the guys in the band is his name was Todd, and he wrote Deep Wound, you know, Jay and I's band, the very first fan letter we got. And he called himself Todd Kotex, and he said he had a band called BIU. And they had stickers that one of the members of the band, his mother, I assume, or someone in his family, worked for the brain injured unit in a hospital. So he got a hold of the whole roll of stickers. So they had BIU stickers, and they were called brain injured unit.
They made stickers for brain injured unit?
Yeah.
Like at the hospital?
Like it was like a little orange sticker.
Oh, like, you know, maybe like to label something in the hospital.
Yeah, sure, to stick it on a
like this cart goes in the brain injured unit.
Yeah, so they had, you know, they scored. They had these, and they called themselves brain injured unit. And then, but they had this dilemma because there was a shift in like 1983 into 1984. There was a shift in the scene, like where it became very political. And there was a band called MDC that came through town. I think they might have come through twice, but they had this big show at UMass. Multi-Death Corporation is the name of the band. Or, depending on the way... They had all these different incarnations of the name. It was like Millions of Dead Cops, Multi-Death Corporation, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, when they came through town, it so affected BIU, Brain Injured Unit, that they changed the name of the band to Bonded in Unity, which was more consistent with like SSD Control, with the sort of brotherhood aspect.
Yep.
As opposed to like, here's a hardcore band with a goofy name.
It's kind of goofy.
They sort of...
They were like, oops, let's get more serious.
So yeah, the interview is the band arguing about the name change.
Oh.
The interview with the band that Eric taped is in the show tape, but I decided to go back and recreate the interview so you could really hear what they were talking about.
Because that's you, right? I was like, that's your voice doing all of those.
I wanted to recreate the interview so we could really sort of get in to what they were talking about. And you could understand that this was a sort of an important and also hilarious conversation that Eric captured. He did interviews with other hardcore bands. Like he did a with this little kid hardcore band called No Preservatives from East Hampton. He also did another one, which is responsible for this, everyone in the world should have their own band, which is like this, it's a part of the early, you know, fans from back in the day, mm-hmm. people who enjoyed the very early Sebado will know what I'm talking about. And they also might be just tickled to death by this new, my new discovery, the very first show tape.
So this is the OG show tape. And did you forget about this thing? Or is this what you actually played then during the shows with Eric? Okay.
Yes. And you can get, you know, the full length show tape is on our Substack.
Barlow Family General Substack. Okay, so for our paid subscribers, they can really go deep into the show tape. Yep. And how long is that?
It's about 15 minutes long.
So about 15 minutes of your time, you can really go like, I'm doing this. This is important to me.
But it's a bit obscure, so that's where it's going to live. But you can...
And wait, did you just recently find this tape?
Well, the weird thing is I thought of it while I was in Australia. I'm like,
okay.
Oh yeah, I did an original. I'm like, I wonder if I could find that tape. I think I already found it because I came home and it was like sitting on top of my four track.
So you must have already been kind of like pre-thinking of this, like, huh, I want to do something with this original show tape.
Well, it just says Drone for Doe Show on it.
I don't even know what that means.
Drone, it means like, because there's a drone going through the whole thing.
Okay.
But I was like, Drone for Doe Show. And I'm like, I didn't equate that with being the show tape. But then when I played it, I'm like, there's the show tape. And I was just thinking about that.
Mm.
And there it is. And now I can transfer it. I can digitize it. And I can share it with the world.
I wonder if there's any YouTube video of you and Eric playing one of those two shows with
there
you.
Is. There is.
There is.
Mm-hmm. At the Middle East upstairs.
Have you seen this video?
Yes.
Okay.
It's excruciating for me to watch because I'm being such an asshole. And then also, it was the day, it was also the day after Jim Henson died that we did the show. And on stage, I said, Grover died today. But he wasn't Grover. I don't think. He wasn't Grover.
I don't know.
Anyway, that's the other guy, Frank Oz.
Which one was Grover? Was he the one who lived in the trash can?
No.
Oh.
That's Oscar.
Oh. Well, see, Oscar, Grover.
I'm pretty sure that was Frank. There's the two main puppeteers.
Wait, which one's Grover then? It sounds so cute. Grover.
I think it's Frank Oz who also does...
Grover. I know I'm thinking of Grover because... Izzy has that really cute book. What is it?
The monster
at the end of the book.
My favorite book when I was Izzy's age.
I love that book.
Was that book.
And it's with Grover in it. And he's so cute.
Yeah. So anyway, like we played a show. One of these shows we played was the day after Jim Henson died. And I said something about, something like me. Mm. Incorrect. Even back then, I was spreading disinformation.
Wow.
And sort of doing it in this kind of like cocky way, you know, just acting like I knew what I was talking about, but I didn't.
Yeah.
But it, so going in back into this tape and realizing that I based it all on this, like tormenting Eric on the phone.
Well, you know why you did that.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's because of Mark. It's because of your childhood with Mark doing these prank calls. Lou's best childhood best friend who passed away, and they started this with phone calls between
realizing that, and then realizing that Eric eventually left the band because he couldn't really, like, he had a hard time with me, and I'm like, no wonder. Like I listened to that, I'm like, oh my god, that's like a terrible thing to do to him. That's a terrible thing to do to Eric. Like, I wasn't really... He was much more sensitive than I had anticipated. And I had... And to me, that was just funny. But to him, he's like, who the fuck is calling me?
Yeah.
And why is this happening?
Yeah.
And then I think I was doing it sort of in retribution for him deciding that Jason was out of the band.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So I was like, it was like, so it's
how complicated.
I know.
Goodness.
Now it's like, it's dark. Wow. It feels dark. I'm like, wow. And again, it's like where I go back and I'm sort of innocently listening to this stuff and going, oh, here's something goofy that I did. But then realizing the sort of dark undercurrent to it.
Mm.
And, yeah.
And probably the truth behind it, like you said, you know.
And when I made,
you felt like he kind of deserved it.
And then the next iteration of that tape that I made, that I played at more shows, Eric really didn't like me playing the tape, and I would always be like, he doesn't like it. And I thought, I kind of didn't. But now looking back, I'm like, no wonder he didn't like it. It was almost totally based.
It was like taunting him.
On taunting him.
Right.
And even stuff with it.
And you didn't see that at the time at all? You just were like, wow, he's humorless? Or, I mean, like, what?
I don't know. I think that it really...
Well, you've come a ways.
The band politic was really complicated and very antagonistic.
Yeah.
And the band was antagonistic.
I feel like that was so of that time, too. Ugh. You know?
Oh, yeah.
We're Gen X. There's so much sarcasm and, yeah, the antagonistic behavior and poking people where you know it's going to hurt them.
Well, I mean, Eric was also antagonistic.
Well, right. Yeah.
You know, so
but
it's
I just
like
mean,
we...
It was everyone. It was like...
Yeah.
It's been a thing for us to unlearn, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It became
okay.
Useless.
Okay.
It became a barrier after not that long time. You know, so I don't know. It's interesting to go back and see it in a more complicated light, and also to understand Eric better.
And also to maybe like have some ownership over your own kind of part of the.
Yeah.
Yuck, like the...
Yeah, because sometimes I will play it out. I will play out the memory and put myself on sort of this, on the innocent side somehow. You know, I'll play out the memory and make myself sort of blameless or, you know, or hapless. Like, oops.
Or justified.
And like looking back and going, oh, I didn't expect that.
Well, I think Four Track Man, there was muttering that it was the end of the show.
It's the end of the show.
Okay.
This is the end of the episode.
Guys, that'll be on the Substack. And
it's time to wrap it up.
Thanks for tuning in to Raw Impressions.
But assuming that you've just, you know, dominated the conversation with this fascinating story of yours, I want to just make sure that before I disappear into my world of silence. And thank you all for listening to this card past Raw Impressions.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.